morning, if you'll be turning to the Gospel of Matthew in the 15th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Good to see this number out. Good to have some visitors with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And if you'd make your way to the front and let it be known that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we'll immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you've been a child of God but wandered back into the world and need to be made right with God, while we're standing and singing, we'll be praying that you'll make your life right this very morning. In the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, begin reading with me at verse 1. Matthew 17, beginning at verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. At this time, we have what is identified as the Mount of Transfiguration. And you'll find that Jesus is upon this mountain, and he brought with him James and John and Peter. And notice, at this particular time, Jesus was transfigured. Jesus' appearance changed. And then if you take your Bible in verse 3, notice that Moses and Elijah appeared to them and they talked with Jesus. I find it interesting that you find Moses and you find Elijah and you find Jesus there. And I want us to stop and to think about something very important about each of them. You find Moses as he is the one over the old covenant, the Mosaic law. You have Elijah representing the prophets, and then you have Christ, the one of the new covenant. And I'd like for us to go back in our Bible and notice something about each of them, that they stood upon a mountain that shook. And each time that the mountain shook, you see the presence of God, and you see that God had an important message to bring to the people. If you take your Bible, turn with me to the 68th Psalm and look at what David had to say in verse 8. In Psalm 68 in verse 8, when he's talking about Mount Sinai, notice he says, The earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. I want you to take note that the Bible says, at the presence of God, the mountain of Sinai was moved, that the mountain shook. And if you take your Bible and go back to the book of Exodus and the 19th chapter, you'll find that's exactly what happened. You'll find that at this time, God has led his people out of Egyptian captivity. They had been in the plains of Egypt. But now he brings them to the great pulpit of Mount Sinai. And he tells the people that they're not to come near the mountain or touch the base of the mountain, lest they die. And you'll remember that there were bounds put around so the people would not go to the mountain or touch its base. But if you take your Bible, look down in verse 16. In verse 16, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought with the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. I want you to think about, here is Moses, and he's about to ascend up to Mount Sinai, where God is going to give him the law. And this will be the covenant of the Jews under the Old Testament dispensation. You remember that God had made a covenant with Noah. God had made a covenant with Abraham. But now this will be the covenant that God makes with the nation of Israel, that they are to be His people. This covenant served for several purposes. First of all, it served to give them direction. He is going to tell them how they're to live and be separate from all the nations round about them. This nation, the Israel nation, would be a nation that would live a holy life. They would not be like the pagan nations around them, but their life would be directed by the will of the living God. You can look in Exodus chapter 20 and you'll find the Ten Commandments are given there. And you can go and find some of the Levitical law that was brought down so that the people would know how to live, so that they would give God glory. So He gave them direction upon that mountain. Can you imagine when Moses climbed that mountain and the mountain shook, and Moses was there and God was giving him the direction, writing it on tablets of stone, how the people were to live? But secondly, the law, that covenant that He made on that mountain, was to give them distinction. Notice, if you will, in verses 5 and 6 of Exodus 19, that God had led them out from the Egyptians in verse 4 like an eagle bearing their young on their wings. And He says in verse 5, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey My voice and keep My covenant," there's the conditions. Notice what He said. "Then you shall be a special treasure to Me above all people, for all the earth is Mine, and you shall be to Me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." I want you to take note that God is making a covenant, and God said, this is the terms of the covenant, and if you keep your terms, I will make of you a special treasure. You will be My people. You will be a nation of kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And can you imagine as they stood with the presence of God on that mountain shaking as Moses got the law? I want you to take note that any time you see the presence of God, you see people standing in awe of God. You see the greatness of God when He descended on that mountain, smoke gathering like a fire from a furnace. And can you imagine the fear of the people as that mountain shook? And God is making known to the people His power, His might, His majesty, and He makes a covenant with the people. But then if you take your Bible, notice the second man we mentioned back in Matthew 15, the man identified as Elijah. And turn, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, when you look at this man, you'll remember that he had the great battle. That upon the mountain he had taken the people of Baal, the worshipers of Baal, the prophets and priests of Baal. And he had challenged them to the great challenge of whose God could make a fire consume that sacrifices. And the prophets of Baal could not make that dumb idol do one thing. But Moses prayed unto God, and the God of heaven consumed not only the sacrifice, but the altar and the water around the altar. And you'll remember that Jezebel heard about what happened, and she said, "Before the night is through, I'm going to have Elijah killed. He'll be killed by this time tomorrow." So Elijah, if you remember, escapes into the wilderness, and there you'll find this man asking God to take his life. He says, "I've been zealous for the Lord of hosts," in verse 10 of chapter 19. And he said, "I've been zealous for the children of Israel, but they've forsaken," watch it, "Your covenant, tore down Your altars, and killed Your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take My life." But look at verse 11 carefully. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." I do want you to know, just like when you look at the people that stood at the Mount of Sinai, At this mountain, God gets Elijah's attention. He sends forth, you'll find, not only the strong wind, but He sends forth the earthquake and the fire. The very things we see at Sinai, we see at this mountain. But I want you to note there's also a small, still voice. And notice that when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out. And notice the question that was asked to him in verse 13. What are you doing here, Elijah? In other words, Elijah, why have you left the people that need the truth? You've already had a great victory. Now you're out here alone in the wilderness. Now you're out here on the mountain. What are you doing here? And notice Elijah says the same thing that we read in verse 10. That he's zealous for the covenant. He's zealous for the children of Israel. But he alone is left because they've killed the prophets. But look at what God says to him in verse 15. Go, return your way. And then if you have your Bible, drop down to verse 18. In verse 18 he said, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. You know what is important about Elijah in this case? Is to show that God's covenant had not been completely forgotten. That it appeared to Elijah everybody had turned. It appeared to Elijah that everyone had apostatized. It appeared to Elijah that everyone had left the Lord. And the Lord said, Elijah, you do not understand. I have 7,000 who've kept the covenant. What covenant? The Mosaic covenant. I still have people who've not bowed down to Baal. I still have people who remember who they are, that they are to live by my direction, that they are a distinct people, that they are my treasure, that they are a holy nation. And Elijah, you've just misunderstood. You've not seen who they are, but I'll tell you something. They are there. And they are serving me, Elijah. And Elijah needed that reminder. A man that was discouraged and downtrodden needed to be reminded that God's people still remain. But that brings us to the third person we saw on the mountain. We looked at Moses and we've looked at Elijah. But now take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter, notice, if you will, that Jesus is upon a cross in Calvary. And notice that it's dark in verse 45. And notice that Jesus had cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you'll find that at that time a lot of the people are making fun and they're laughing at Jesus. But look at verse 50. In verse 50, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Now watch it. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Have you ever thought about that mountain shook? Have you ever thought that this was a changing of the covenant? When the veil was torn from top to bottom, no longer did they live under Moses' law, but Jesus is instituting a new covenant. We no longer keep Moses' law. We're no longer under that law. We're now under Christ. And notice, my friend, just as Moses had delivered the people out of captivity, Jesus does the same with us. Open your Bible, if you will, and notice what is said in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, he said that one time we were slaves. And notice, my friend, we were slaves to sin. That led to death in verse 16. But notice what he says in verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, we were in bondage, we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and we've been set free from sin, and we became slaves of righteousness. Have you ever thought about when the earthquake on the mountain of Calvary and the new covenant was going to be established? And you remember that Jesus told his apostles to stay in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth, and Jesus established his new kingdom. And do you recognize, my friend, you and I are part of that kingdom. We made a covenant with Christ. if we've been baptized into Christ, if we've been raised to walk in newness of life, if we've obeyed that form of doctrine, that we are children of God. Look at what we are in 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice we're the same thing that he talked about the people in the Old Testament. The same thing as the Jews in the day of Moses. But notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he is writing, he tells us in verse 9 that we are something. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Just as God made a covenant with the Jews, God makes a covenant with us today when we come to God on His terms. When we believe that He's the Son of God and we're immersed into Christ, we make a covenant that we will be His children, He will be our Father, we will live the way He tells us to live, and we will be a distinct people. Jesus says in Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is distinctive. And He says, you're to be a distinct people. You're to be people that are different from the world around you. If people can't tell the difference between you and the world around you, then my friend, you're not living up to your part of the covenant. You've made a covenant if you've been immersed into Christ. But have you ever thought about when that mountain shook? That got the attention of the people. In fact, one said, surely this is the Son of God. But I want you to look at one last mountain in the lesson, Jesus. And this isn't a literal mountain, but this is a figurative mountain that the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12. Notice this mountain will only shake one more time. Look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18 beginning. For you've not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and go to blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. We've not come to Mount Sinai, but look at what he says in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You ever thought about the covenant we live under? He said, look at who you are in fellowship with. You're in this kingdom in Mount Zion with the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable angels, the church of the firstborn, those who have gone on, whose spirits were right, and to Jesus the mediator. Then look at verse 25. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now He is promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are not made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is what? A consuming fire. Now look at what he says and break it down very carefully. He says in verse 27 that there's going to be a shaking and it's going to remove those things that can be shaken. But you are part of what? An unshakable kingdom. In the day of judgment, when He comes again and this earth is to be destroyed and melted with fervent heat, you know there will be a great shaking. But if we're in Christ, we are in an unshakable kingdom. We are in a kingdom, as Daniel prophesied in Daniel 2:44, that will endure forever. And in a shakable world and in a shakable time, isn't it wonderful to know that we can be in a kingdom that is not shakable? That we are God's people. That we've entered into a covenant with God. And with this covenant, now we can be at peace. And when the trumpet sounds again, as they made the trumpet sound, way back in the days of Sinai, and Jesus returns and we're called up to meet Him, have you ever thought about the peace that we can have when He says, enter into the joys of the kingdom of your Father? I thought that was a beautiful thought. You have the mountain shaking in awe of God. You have people entering into a covenant relationship with God. But then you have people in Hebrews 12 who did not enter into a covenant relationship. And when He comes again, they're going to be removed. But those who are in a covenant relationship with Him, they will go with Him. I want you to think about one thing as we close the sermon. Are you in the unshakable kingdom? Have you entered into a covenant relationship with God? Have you been willing to let Him direct your way? And are you distinct from the world? Can people tell we're different? I want to ask you, are you a good advertisement for the Lord and His church? One thing, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, you ought to be shaken. And I would that I could put that into your heart, because what my desire is that we come to God because of His great love for us. And that we become children of God, and we are distinct, and we follow His direction, and we give Him glory all of our days, so that one day we live with Him. And if that's your desire this morning, we pray you'll come as together we stand and sing.